Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Iris Bat Bernice, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. On this week's program, we plan to discuss the greatest miracle in human history, in the history of the world. Since the creation of the world, there have been billions, maybe trillions of miracles. But what is the greatest miracle? The greatest miracle of all? The answer is the rise of the modern state of Israel. All other miracles pale in comparison to the miracle of modern Israel. And by the way, it's not just Chaim ben Pesach that says this. Chazal tell us that this was going to happen. Chazal are the great rabbis of the Talmud and of Jewish tradition. They tell us that in the end of days, the final redemption, the final kibbutz galuyot, the final ingathering of the Jews from the exile to the land of Israel, and the final geulah, the final redemption of the Jewish people, would be so great and so magnificent and so breathtaking that the miracle of Pesach, the Passover miracle, and everything that took place when Hashem, when God brought the Jews out of Egypt, that will pale in significance. And that Pesach, the Passover, Chag HaPesach, the Passover holiday, will no longer be observed because everybody will be focused on the incredible miracle of the final redemption. It will be so much greater than the miracle of Pesach. And let's remember, in the miracle of Pesach, we had Eser Makot Mitzrayim, the 10 plagues that struck Egypt, which were obviously breathtaking miracles. Kriyat Yam Suf is the parting of the Red Sea. We have all the miracles in Midbar Sinai, in the Sinai Desert, where the Jews had to wander for 40 years before they came into the land of Israel. I mean, just unbelievable miracles, awesome miracles that took place. And yet, all of that will pale in comparison to the incredible, overpowering, unbelievable miracle of the return of the Jews to Israel in the final days, which is what has happened in the past 70 years. So Chazal already tell us that this is going to happen. If that's true, if this miracle is so great and so magnificent that it makes Pesach and makes all the other miracles of history look small by comparison, if this miracle is so astonishing, so astounding, then how is it that everybody doesn't recognize the miracle? Well, you know, the rabbis taught us that when you're part of a miracle, when you're within the generation of a miracle, when you're part of the miracle, you very often don't even recognize the miracle that's going on all around you. And there are many other explanations why the crazy Jews of this generation don't recognize the fact that they're part of a generation of the greatest miracle in history. First of all, let's understand some of the distinctions between the miracle of Passover, when God took the Jews out of the land of Egypt. Let's understand the distinction between that and this miracle, the miracle of the creation of modern Israel. God took the Jews out of Egypt. That was one country. God had to liberate the Jews from the land of Egypt, and it was a tremendous miracle because slaves had never been able to win their freedom from Egypt. No slave had ever escaped from Egypt. And Hashem, God, liberated an entire people and brought them out from this massive empire. Defenseless, unarmed slaves defeated a massive empire, the most massive superpower in those days in the world. So there's no question it was an incredible miracle, what happened in Egypt in ancient times. But this miracle, the return to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, this is not a return from one country, as in the days of ancient Egypt. This is a return from 200 countries, from every corner of the earth. Hashem, God, fishes the Jews out of these nations from all four corners of the earth and brings them back to the land of Israel, just as the prophets told us he would do thousands of years ago. You can't compare bringing people out of one country to bringing people out of 200 different countries. And the people and the Jews that he brought out are completely different in every way. Language completely different. Speaking completely different languages, numerous languages that were completely different. With cultures that are completely different and in many cases have the opposite attributes of the cultures of other Jews. Jews from Russia and Jews from Morocco and Jews from Yemen and Jews from Poland. Many of these Jews have cultures that are polar opposites in many respects. You can't expect people to get along in a situation like that from so many different cultures and all be part of this miracle and from all these different countries, and Hashem made it so that all these different, that the Jews in all these different countries would leave and would come to Israel in the end of days after 2,000 years. And that's another great aspect of the miracle. After 2,000 years, you know why the miracle of Israel's modern creation is so astounding? Because it is absolutely unprecedented. Never in history has a people been expelled from their land and come back 2,000 years later. Never in history. Speaking the same language, believing in the same religion, to the same land, after it having been prophesied thousands of years ago. There is no precedent for this. No country, no history, no culture even comes close to this. It's comical that other people say, oh, the Jews are not the real Jews. We're the real, you know, so many people now want to be the real, they want the blessing. Everybody wants to be the Jews except for the Jews. The Jews want to assimilate and are ashamed, it's a shame to be Jewish because they're nuts. But everybody else, the Christian, many Christian cults and sects claim that they're the real Israel. They're the new Israel. They're the new Israel. They're the real Israel. They came back to the land of Israel. They fulfilled all the biblical prophecies. Isn't it obvious that who the real Jews are who came back to the land and are fulfilling the biblical prophecies? Down to the letter, I mean, the Jews are fulfilling all these biblical prophecies. Returning to the land. The land was desolate for 2,000 years. All of a sudden, the land becomes flush, and the minute they come back, the land becomes an incredible, flush, miraculous paradise. And they defeat enemies that outnumber them 100-1 against all odds in six-day wars. We know who the real Israel is and the real Jews are from the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I mean, it's obvious. But this incredible situation goes far beyond what we saw during Pesach. We see, after 20 centuries, from 200 different countries, from completely different cultures, completely different languages, completely different traditions in every respect, a completely different outlook on life. Jews in Russia did not have the same outlook on life as Jews in Tunisia. I mean, they just didn't. And Hashem brings them back. And most Jews are completely apathetic about this miracle, including the Israeli Jews who are part of the miracle. They're completely apathetic about it. They're indifferent to it. It's as if it never happened. It's as if Israel is like all other countries and the land of Israel is like all other lands. The Israeli Jews who experience the miracle are indifferent to it. Most religious Jews are indifferent to it. You have so many religious Jews who say, the Rebbe did this and my rabbi did that and the candle was this and this and some little tiny miracle that they try to find in history that they associate with their rabbi or whatever, which might have happened. Some little thing that might have happened in some remote village in Europe or in the Arab world or anywhere else, that they'll make a big deal over. But the return of the Jews to modern Israel, the most astounding miracle of them all, and a miracle that is eternal, that will not be only for one generation, but will be for eternity, because the Jews will never again lose Israel. This astounding miracle, this astounding eternal miracle, they don't recognize and they're indifferent to. Crazy people. And the fact that the Jews are so insane, and the fact that there's so many of them are self-hating, and so many of them want to assimilate, and don't want to go back to Israel. You know, the Jews didn't want to go back to Israel, and they don't want to go back to Israel. The only Jews that wanted to go to Israel were Jews from Arab countries and third world countries, where, of course, going to Israel is quite a step up. That's why they wanted to go. But Jews from Western countries in the United States, for instance, very few of them actually make Aliyah. The Jews don't want to go back to Israel unless they're forced to. And that's another miracle. Hashem is forcing them to. Hashem for their own good, because eventually they'll be part of a process of eternal redemption. Hashem is forcing them for their own good to go back to Israel, pushing them, because they wouldn't go on their own. If it were up to them, they wouldn't go. You know how many Jews from Russia, from the Arab world, from other countries went to Israel, not even knowing what to expect there, not knowing where they would go, what was going to happen, what the situation was. You know how many of them had to say goodbye to their parents or their brothers or sisters or their families, leave their jobs, leave their schools, leave their property and their homes. Sometimes they got divorced because of this, because they wanted to make Aliyah, go to Israel. And you'd ask them, as I often ask them, why did you go to Israel? Why did you want to make Aliyah? You know, many times they told me, I don't know. Something just made me feel that I have to go. I don't know what it was. I don't know why I'm going. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. Such a people they had no understanding even of the times they're living in or of the process that they're part of. They don't even know what the process that they're part of. And that includes the secular ones and the religious ones. Indeed, most of the religious Jews were against the creation of the state of Israel, as were most of the secular Jews. Most Jews were against creating a Jewish state. They were so concerned that they'd be accused of dual loyalty, that it would affect their status in the countries they were living in. They didn't want a Jewish state. Most Jews were against creating the state of Israel. And despite the fact that they were against it, God took a people filled with self-hatred and self-doubt, a people that after thousands of years of being battered and hated and condemned and ostracized and murdered by everybody, only wanted the approval of the world, only wanted some security, some peace and quiet, didn't want to go back to Israel, didn't even believe. He took a people like this and took this people and brought them back against their own will after 2,000 years from the four corners of the earth, from 200 different countries, and then gives them victories. People that for 2,000 years didn't fight wars, they were never involved with wars or killing or fighting or soldiering or anything. They were never involved with any of this. For 20 centuries, they didn't know anything about it. In fact, they had a reputation for not fighting, and not fighting back. Look what happened 3 years before the creation of Israel. The Holocaust ended. Over 6 million Jews were murdered. Most of them did not fight back, did not resist. They went and let the Germans murder them and didn't even resist. This was the reputation of the Jews for 2,000 years. And all of a sudden, that people, Hashem takes that people, the people that you would think would be the least likely to be heroic, the least likely to win battles against the odds, the least likely to be great soldiers and do spectacular things like the Six-Day War. He takes them and he gives them victories in Six-Day Wars, defeating an Arab world that outnumbered them 100-1. And they win these miraculous victories. And they liberate Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the capital. And they liberate Yehuda, Veshomron, Judea and Samaria. And they liberate the whole Sinai. And they liberate the Golan Heights. And in 6 days, they do all of this, defeating all the Arab armies. And the Jews that are part of it don't even realize they were part of a miracle. Some of them are evil, like Moshe Dayan, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that hideous animal. After the Six-Day War, a non-Jewish reporter said to him, wasn't this the Six-Day War, wasn't this a great miracle? The non-Jewish reporter assumed that he would say yes. It seemed obvious to any sane person. Moshe Dayan said, it was not a miracle. It was Tzahal. It's the Israeli army. It was no miracle. It's the Israeli army. Arrogant, stupid, blind piece of garbage, Moshe Dayan. And many of the Jews who were part of the miracle, again, they just go through life. They don't even know what the hell's going on around them. They don't even think of Eretz Yisrael as a special place. It's unbelievable. The fact that God took a people like this, of all people, no people is more doubting about religion than the Jews. No people asks more questions than the Jews. No people is more difficult to convince than the Jews. No people has more different opinions. You have three Jews and four opinions. When David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, came to meet Harry Truman, the president, Harry Truman called him David, was calling David Ben-Gurion David, and Ben-Gurion kept calling Truman Mr. President. So Truman said, please, I'm calling you David, call me Harry. And because it's one leader of a nation with another leader of a nation, so you can call me Harry. So Ben-Gurion said, no, it's not the same that I'm the prime minister and you're the president. You see, at that time there were 1 million Jews in Israel when he met with Truman. There were already 1 million Jews there. Ben-Gurion said to Truman, you are the president of 150 million America. There were 150 million people in the United States at that time. Now there are 330 million. At that time, there were 150 million. Ben-Gurion said to Truman, you are the president of 150 million Americans. I'm the prime minister of 1 million prime ministers. Everyone in Israel is like the prime minister. Everyone in Israel knows what to do and will tell you how this should be run and what should be. Every taxi driver, everyone who sells falafel, everyone in the fruit stand, they all know, they'll give you their opinions. That's the Jews. Very hard to govern a people like that. Very, very hard. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, we saw in the desert what he went through with them. And God takes this people and brings them back. Because you see, if God had taken a people that's easy to convince, that's very, automatically believe and that automatically follow anything, you show them one little amazing thing and all of a sudden they're ready to follow you to the ends of the earth. If God had taken a people like that, they would have said, well, what's the big deal? But the Jews, to convince the Jews, to get the Jews to do something, that's a miracle. God forced the Jews to make Aliyah. God forced the Jews to create a Jewish state. By the way, even when they were in Israel, they didn't want to create a Jewish state. God forced them to do it. 1,000 Jewish freedom fighters in Etzel, in the Irgun Tzva'i Leumi, the freedom fighting underground organization, 1,000 Jewish freedom fighters threw 100,000 British soldiers out of Israel. The British stationed 100,000 soldiers in Israel to prevent Israel from becoming independent, because it was in the crossroads of Israel's in the crossroads of Asia and Africa, and the British very much wanted to stay there. They put 100,000 soldiers there, and the British, they had quite a fighting force. I mean, they in World War II, in both World Wars, and they proved themselves. The British, that's quite an army. And don't forget, Britain at one time ruled over about a third of the world. So you're not talking about some joke of an army here. You're talking about an army that has quite a fighting reputation. 100,000 British soldiers against 1,000 underground Jewish freedom fighters in an underground, when most of the surrounding Jewish community were ready to snitch on them and rat on them. And were against what they were doing. They called them terrorists, you're extremists, you're terrorists, you're that. And these 1,000 Jews in the underground, in the Irgun, waged war against 100,000 British soldiers in the revolt and threw them out of the land of Israel, forced them to leave, threw them out. In one attack, they blew up 30 British jets, 30 British jet fighters. They went in and blew up. They made the bombs themselves and blew up 30 British jet fighters. Can you imagine if Muslim terrorists were doing that now, doing things like that now? I mean, these were incredible. I mean, just incredible things that they pulled. They put them in prison. They put them in prison, and they escaped from a prison that nobody had ever escaped from. They blew the prison walls out and got all the Jewish prisoners out and escaped from the prison. When they started hanging the Jews, the British started hanging them. They started they were giving them a death sentence and hanging them. The Jews grabbed two British sergeants and hanged them in retaliation. After that, no more Jews were hanged. They started beating the Jews. They would go in through the streets and start beating the Jews, the British, like they did to the other natives, to the other subjects, to teach them to respect the crown. So the Jews grabbed British sergeants and British and members of the British army and started beating them and pulled their pants down and started beating them in the middle of the street. Would whip them too, in the middle of the street, in retaliation. And that, and again, the British stopped the British from beating Jewish civilians. It was just one miracle after another. And all these blows that they gave to the British Empire, finally the British Empire, they decided they had to leave. They left. They ran. They got out. Because it was not because of Ben-Gurion or because of any other sillery, or the UN did not create Israel. The Jewish freedom fighters that blew the British out of Israel, they created the state of Israel with Hashem's help. And they were not religious. Most of them were not religious. Most of them didn't even know that Hashem, that God was helping them and guiding them and using them. God used non-religious people, people who had no faith, and used them to fulfill His word, to fulfill His prophecies, and to bring His people back, because He promised our forefathers that He was going to do this. And God always keeps His word. God is not Netanyahu or Trump or any other politician. God keeps His word when He makes a promise. The fact that God did this with the Jews is the most astounding miracle of all people. Would you bet on the Jews, of all people, to pull something like this off? Of all people, this is the last people you'd want to bet on. This is the last people you would expect will put on uniforms in the Israeli army and become the most fierce fighters in history. This is the last people you would expect that out of. 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, and 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight. And it happened. And you know, 600,000 Jews, 600,000 Jewish souls left the land of Egypt. And so it was a rule, the Vilna Gaon told us this, and it was a rule of history, that the Jews would not be able to create another Jewish state. They would create a Jewish state again and have Jewish sovereignty, but that would only happen when there are 600,000 Jews in Israel again. They first would have to be 600,000 Jews in Israel again. In 1948, there were 600,000 Jews in Israel. And after 2,000 years, the state of Israel again came into being against all odds. And by the way, there were 600,000 Jews in Israel and millions of Arabs in Israel. Millions. How do you have a Jewish state when you have 600,000 Jews and millions of Arabs? You can't, you know. They're the majority. You can't. What are you going to do? They all ran. They attacked the Jews, started a war to kill all the Jews. And then in the war, they all fled. They all flee. They would all flee, and they all fled to other countries and ran. And so the Jews became the majority. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Incredible. And the people, again, who are part of the miracle, who carried out the miracle, who were the tools that God used in the miracle, have no idea. In fact, many of the people who were God's tools in carrying out His plan were against God and against Judaism and against religion. And He used the evil people to make sure that His prophecy would come true. He didn't let the fact that they were evil get in the way of the fact that when it's time, His prophecy is going to come true. 3 years. 3 years after the end of the Holocaust and the end of World War II, that same Jewish people that suffered the greatest humiliation in history, over 6 million innocent Jews brutally murdered and gassed and burned and tortured to death in the Nazi death camps, the worst crime in human history. 3 years after that humiliation, after that Chilul Hashem, after that desecration of God's name, just 3 years later, this incredible Kiddush Hashem, this incredible miracle, this incredible Kiddush Hashem means sanctification of God's name. Just 3 years later, the State of Israel, 1948, comes into being, and that same Jewish people who couldn't defend themselves, or thought they couldn't defend themselves at all during the Holocaust, all of a sudden, from the ashes of Auschwitz, rise a new Jewish people with iron fists and blazing guns, and redeem the land of their forefathers after 2,000 years, outnumbered 100 to 1. Tell me where there's a precedent for this anywhere in history, from any people, at any time, at any place. There is no miracle greater than the miracle of the return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. And if it were up to the Jews, they wouldn't even be part of the miracle. They all were the Jews. For instance, in France and in England, there's anti-Semitism in Europe, in France, England, other countries. Most of the French and English Jews that leave, they don't make Aliyah to Israel, though they go to Israel temporarily, then they run to America, they run to Canada, they want to immigrate to another country. They don't want to go to Israel. They don't want to go. They have no idea. A lot of Israelis who live in Israel leave Israel. They have no clue. They don't have a clue as to what a great reward they would have if they stay in the land and really believe and really do what they're supposed to do. They have no idea what a reward we're talking about. The God who has eternal power will give an eternal reward to those who do what they're supposed to do, who follow His commandments and do what they're supposed to do in this time. And that doesn't only mean, like the Haredi Jews say, or the other Jews, that you have to put on tefillin. You do have to put on tefillin every day, yes. You do have to observe Shabbat. You do have to eat kosher. You do have to follow the holidays. You have to do all of that, yes. But it is not less important at all. It's just as important for you to do the national commandments, settling the land of Israel, living in the land of Israel, fighting for the land of Israel, fighting for your fellow Jews. Those commandments are not less important than the other ones, maybe even more important. That's not, God forbid, to say that you shouldn't do the other one. You have to do the other ones too. But the national ones are probably even more important than the other ones, than the personal commandments. Putting on tefillin and all these other commandments, these are personal commandments, are national commandments. To make this a better world, to influence others, to change the world forever for the good, for all generations. Those commandments are extremely important, and the vast majority of so-called religious Jews do not follow those commandments, are apathetic and indifferent, and do nothing when Jews are thrown out of their homes in Judea and Samaria, and do nothing to resettle the land of Israel, and do nothing when Jews are in trouble. When we fought to free Jews from the Soviet Union, there were very few Jews that actually joined with us in comparison to them. We should have had millions of Jews joining with us in our battle. At the peak, we had a few thousand Jews who were active in the JDL and the Jewish Defense League when I was running JDL. At the peak. And how many Jews were willing to sacrifice Soviet Jews just as they sacrificed the Jews during the Holocaust? Because they were afraid that if we protest, it's going to cause anti-Semitism. If we raise our voice, or if we get too loud and become too noticeable, it's going to cause anti-Semitism. They were more worried about that than saving millions of Jewish lives. Blind people and not righteous people. Very, very sad. And that includes rabbis, and that includes religious Jews. That's why I was so proud of my rabbi, Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. May his name and memory be immortalized. May God avenge his blood. My rabbi, the greatest Jewish leader in modern Jewish history. He led us in a campaign to save our brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union, and led the campaign to wake up Israel and get the Arab enemy out of Israel. And all the things he warned about are all the things that are coming true in Israel. He taught us that Ahavat Yisrael, love of the people of Israel and the nation of Israel, and the land of Israel, and the Torah of Israel, and fighting and sacrificing for others and to make this a better world, that is the most important thing that a Jew can do in this world. And the other commandments, Tefillin, Kashrut, Shabbat, Chagim, all those other commandments, Tefillah, all of those are just kelim, are just tools. Essential tools, we have to do it, essential tools, but tools to teach us how to most effectively fight the battle. Because the battle for the Jewish people and for the land of Israel, that's what will decide human history and what will decide our personal destiny and our national destiny and the destiny of the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Jewish child in Israel learned about these things in the school system, which they don't learn about now? Now they learn self-hatred and transgenders and feminism and crazy stuff and climate change and global warming and global freezing and global this. I mean, just insane. All the insanity of the rest of the world. This is the filth and the garbage that they brought into the Israeli school system to brainwash Jewish kids in Israel. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And by the way, the yeshiva system and the religious kids in Israel, they don't learn this stuff either. They don't learn it either. They learn to. And then they learn to go into an army where the soldiers, we have Jewish soldiers getting murdered in order to save the lives of the Arab enemy, to feel guilty when you kill the Arab enemy that wants to exterminate you. They teach them that the land also belongs to the Arab Nazi enemy. Sick, sick behavior, self-hating behavior. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had proud, self-respecting, truthful, and courageous leaders for a change in Israel? I dreamed all my life of making Aliyah and of trying to bring that type of leadership to Israel. And I'm 62 years old now, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do that. But I'm fighting for someone in Israel whom I hope will be able to at least begin that process, Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. And we are bringing the truth to Israel now through something else that Hashem created, the internet. The internet was created by Hashem to bring the truth to the world. By the way, in ancient times, if you would have said that you're going to have a leader who's going to speak to the whole world and address the whole world and bring truth to the whole world, as the prophet said, one of the things that people said at that time was, how's that possible? How can you bring to the whole world in those days? To bring messages to the rest of the world was something that took days. Now you can bring messages. Now you can address the entire world. That day will come, and the internet will eventually be used for that purpose. We're bringing the truth to the people of Israel. It's true that it's only tens of thousands every week. There are 6 million Jews there. We'd like to reach all of them every day with our message constantly, but we can't. We don't have the budget for that. We don't have the resources for that. But we are reaching tens of thousands every week. And it's a short message because it's advertising. So, you know, it's between 60 and 75 seconds, whatever the commercial is. We have seven videos running in Hebrew now, and they're short videos. I think the shortest one is 44 seconds, and the longest one, I think, is 1 minute and 38 seconds now. So it's short. It's between 44 seconds and 1 minute and 38 seconds, the seven videos. That's the range. So you don't have a lot of time to convince people. We just throw out facts and information and try to quickly convince people. It isn't easy to do, but we're doing it. We're fighting a battle to do it. And that's what you're part of when you're part of JTF. But whether you're part of JTF or whatever you do in life, you should know that you are in this world to make this a better world. That if you just live for yourself and you don't care and you don't fight to make this a better world and make it a better world according to the standards of the Torah and the Jewish standards, if you don't do that, then you're missing the boat. You're missing the whole reason for your existence in the world. And so we're going to fight this battle. We're going to continue to fight the battle. Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope we succeed. Please pray for us that we develop a way to reach, instead of tens of thousands a week, hundreds of thousands and then millions. And Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us that we succeed in getting our message across. And I hope our message will convince people. I hope enough people in Israel will be convinced. I see messages, people respond. They respond to the videos and say, you know, he makes sense. He's right. A lot of people say that. There are other people who don't like it. Don't like what we say, of course. Because our message is controversial. But there are quite a few say they agree, he's right, and so on. I hope it doesn't stop there. I don't know. I hope that if we keep reaching people with this message, that it will make a difference. It'll create a new consciousness, a new awareness that there are solutions to our problems in Israel. That we can make a difference. We can change things. We don't have to settle for the phony right leaders in Israel who are in fact subcontractors for the left. Netanyahu, Bennett, Lieberman, all of them do the dirty work of the left. None of them are right wing. All of them are frauds. And we bring the real truth and the real message to the people. And I'm hoping, God willing, that we can enlighten people, wake them up, and get them to start thinking and to start realizing there are ways to solve these problems in Israel, and there are ways to make Israel into Gan Eden, into a paradise, if we just do what has to be done, if we do the right thing. God gave us all the tools if we just have the will to do the right thing. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. And we're living now through the redemption now. We're in the redemption now. We are living through a period of redemption. It's not the final redemption. Many other things are still going to come. But we are certainly in the process of redemption now that the Jews have returned to Israel. And it's a glorious process. And the most glorious thing in life is if you become part of the process. So let's fight together as a team. Let's work to make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.